on this episode of The Commercial Break.
Hey, my turtles and pterodactyls, it's Brian Green, co-host of The Commercial Break. The good news, if you're hearing my voice, you've made it to 2021, or we're all in podcast purgatory with The Commercial Break. But in either case, it has to be better than 2020. You must admit that. So here we are. Last episode of season one, episode number 40, the very unnecessary best of season one, part two, episodes 19 through 37. I think I couldn't have made the name any longer if I tried. We'll be back next week. New studio, new content, new season. And I'll make the announcement now. We are going to have a Patreon channel and we'll do full episodes for those who are members of Patreon. And we will also still do this Tuesday episode for everyone in general. So we're very excited about that. Details to follow next week. So make sure you tune in on Tuesday. Until then, if you want to drop us a line at The Commercial Break on Instagram, you can go info@tcbpodcast.com. Type that into your computer machine. Send us a Hotmail right on over to my Yahoo account, and we'll make sure we respond just as soon as possible. So without any further ado, I give you the very last episode of season one, the unnecessary best of season one, part two, episode 19 through 37, with a strange British lady narrating the episode straight from my computer box. It's my gift to you. Enjoy.
Clips from episode 19.
Shooby dooby dooby.
Hi, Brian. It's your mom. It's good to talk to you. Listen, I know you didn't answer the phone, but I just want to tell you about 35 things I did today. How long does the message go? 2 or 3 minutes? Today I went to the hairdresser, and it just know that I don't have coronavirus because no one there has coronavirus because they don't even touch you. They don't touch you at the hairdresser.
They don't touch you at the hairdresser, Mom?
No, they don't touch you at the hairdresser. They have like a plastic thing in front of you.
They have a plastic thing in front of you, but they don't. How did they get to your hair?
I don't know. I didn't even ask them. I just went to sleep for a little while.
Thanks, Mom. I'm going to send you straight to voicemail now so you can leave the rest of the conversation.
Thanks, Brian. Love you.
Hi, Brian. It's your mom.
We sent out our first break room to, yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was.
Yes.
No, yes. Well, yeah, a couple days ago. When this show airs, it'll be a couple days ago. I keep forgetting we're not stuck in space and time, so it's a little bit different. But so I put this voicemail in there that my mom.
I can't believe it doesn't cut her off.
It doesn't cut her off. It's like a 4.5 minute message. It's like I think it's like my phone company knows that it's my mom calling and is like, oh, we'll give her an extra couple seconds to get out, whatever.
And then Irving said that he loves you and he wants you to be his son. And then Jean from Texas. You know Jean from Texas. She's from Texas.
My mom always qualifies people by saying, you know, who they are and where they're from. So Even though there's only one Jean that's currently alive at the there was a two Jeans, but now only one of them is alive. But she still calls her Jean from Texas. And then there's, you know, Bob from Oklahoma. And then there's Joe from Utah.
Joe from Utah. He's got one leg and he's rude to all the girls at the table.
Yes, Mom. I know who that is.
Well, Irving doesn't like him very much.
Okay, I'm gonna can you call back? Because I'm gonna send you straight to voicemail.
Okay, bye.
Hi, Brian, it's your mom.
Here is Henry Fonda's first appearance.
I don't know where they're based out of. I've talked to some people over there, and I found out that some, you know, there's a rather large podcasting
platform.
I'm happy
to like actually help you with your research.
Do you think I need backup on my research?
I too am in quarantine, and I don't have two small children. So let me help you with your research.
The podcast is, how can I help you?
Yeah, this is Brian Green with the commercial break.
The what?
The commercial break.
Okay. What you want?
I'd like to buy an advertisement on your platform just so I can get some new listeners.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes, currently we're running a special. You can get a large size banner ad and you can supersize it for $6,722.
Oh, great. Can you tell me about how many people you have on the website every day?
6 million?
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, 6 million.
That's fantastic. So how many clicks do you expect out of that 6 million?
Probably 5 million.
Wow, where are you guys right, based? There,
it's all the 6 million people that have a podcast.
That's that are correct. On. That's correct. Who is that? Who's speaking? Who's speaking? I can only speak to one person at a time. It's the law of my country.
Which country is that?
Shabba La Roba.
Oh, where's Shabba La Roba located?
North of the North Pole.
Oh, that's awesome.
In space.
Yes, we're in outer space. We're podcasting from outer space. Would you like to buy the banner, Ed?
Yes, I would. Where do I sign up?
I want you to go to Western Union and send it.
Oh, that's awesome.
You did this, didn't you?
Yes. Every time I find a new podcasting platform, I'm like, oh, I wonder if we can do business with them. See if we can find a few new customers. And then I'll get like emails at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Sure, no problem. How many clicks do you need?
I don't know. How many can you provide?
Is mini. We have the mini package or the more package. Which one would you like?
I'll take the mini.
$5 million.
That's awesome. Ah, I'm a podcaster, so my ego is big. I'm willing to pay anything for anything. There's an old joke about podcasters. How much is a podcaster willing to pay for a new listener? And the answer is anything. How much you got?
How much you got?
Brian almost gets a happy ending in a clip from episode 20.
This is quickly turning into something a little bit strange. Like, and it felt strange. It did, yeah. You know, if the woman had, if it had been Bertha, and Bertha was doing it, right? And she was just like doing it because that's her years of experience tells you that, yes, you know, there's some tenderness in your nuts and you need to massage those balls. Then I probably would have been like,
I'm feeling right? something from your hand. Yeah, the, yeah, I need to get
yes,
to the balls.
Your balls are very, your balls are very tight. I feel
that's where the tightness is coming from.
You have two nuts in your balls. The shaft of your
it's
penis.
One knot, yes. One knot, either ball.
The shaft of your penis feels very hard and tight. I must let me work it out. Don't worry. Bertha knows how. Bertha knows what to do. You're in good hands, literally.
Right. And you would be like, that's exactly what should happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
go for it.
If there was like a, you know, a doctor puts his hands on my nuts or her hands on my nuts, there's no sexual feeling about it whatsoever. It's a clinical bullshit. And so there's some masseuses, you know, that are just clinical, but this was not clinical. It was bordering on getting strange, a wild orchid scene.
Yeah.
So I had to quickly, like, you know, position her hand somewhere else. And then she went for it again. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, to be clear, she wasn't like sticking her hand down my pants. She was massaging my lower abdomen, but every time getting a little bit lower. And I was like, what are you doing? There's no muscles in my lower abdomen that you need to massage.
I haven't worked those in years. What are you?
Look at me. Does it look like that's where I hold my stress? That's where all the good stuff is. That's where I eat my stress away. Oh my God. I swear. Now, it's a running joke for the entire, like, you know, whenever I go get a massage, Astrid will say, are you going to get a Bose glow? And I'm like, maybe. I don't know. Maybe this will be my lucky day. Here in America, just doesn't happen like that. They stay really nipples to knees. I mean, sometimes they massage your thigh occasionally, right? But they're quick about it. It is very clinical. They're quick about it. I don't know. Maybe the Bose glow would have been quick too. Who knows? I didn't give it a try.
Ryan won't be a rock and roll star in a clip from episode 22.
One of the guys in the band knew that you could call the rec room and get yourself a spot for, you know, for nothing, right? You'd be, yeah.
Rec room, how can I help you?
Yes, I'm a band and I'd like to book a show.
Okay, what are you doing this Thursday at 3 o'clock?
Well, I'm a sophomore in high school, so I'm going to be in high school.
Oh, that's really bad. Too bad. We got a spot you could fill at Thursday at 3 o'clock.
Okay, we'll get out of school, I think. You know, everyone in the background's like, we'll get out of school.
Yeah, we're yeah, doing yeah. it. We're
okay,
doing
okay,
it.
We're doing it. Okay, so what do we need to do?
Show up.
I guess show up.
Okay, how do we promote it?
That's entirely up to you. We here at the Rec Room have an open promotion policy. You feel free to do it however you want.
Okay, great. Can we like use your logo and stuff?
We don't have a logo. It's just spelled Rec Room.
Okay, great. We're going to be there Thursday at 3 o'clock. What time is sound check?
3 o'clock.
Oh, that's what time sound check starts?
Sure, man. Whatever you want. 3 o'clock.
Call it sound check. Yeah.
3 o'clock to 3:35. It's all you.
So we show up, we get our gear, we show up. I swear to God, maybe it's not a Thursday, but maybe it's a Friday. And it's like 4:30, right? So we show up, we put out these flyers at school. We get like 26 people to attend, right? And everyone is super excited. And I am just a ball of fucking nerves. I'm like, oh my God, I got to get up there in front of people. Like, we've been doing this in this guy's attic, you know, and to no one. And now I got to get up and sing these melodramatic songs that no one's going to like. And just all this stuff that goes to your head. And I had a real bad bout of stage fright. And so I was like, oh my God, holy shit. And so we get up there, we start plugging in our instruments, and the guy is in the back of the room, right? He's like at the soundboard.
Hey, y'all. Okay, just go ahead.
Oh, okay. fa la 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 la. Simulance. Simulance. Simulance.
Okay, go ahead, guys.
Right, I'm testing microphone one, microphone one.
You're testing microphone one? It's fine. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. You want to do the drums next?
No, I want you to start playing. It's 3:05. You have exactly 27 minutes left.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were... And there's like the 26 people are standing out there and they're all like, what is going on? Like, and I was like, I'm sorry. I thought we had a stage... I thought we had a sound check.
Hey, brother, do the sound check on your own time. You guys got to keep going.
It was Boater's Safety Week on episode 23.
I think he'd always wanted a boat. So he goes to the boat show and the boat show guy convinces him to buy a boat, right? An open bow ski boat. But my dad was not like a boater per se. He just liked going on the boat, but he had never operated a boat as a boat owner, right? And we go out our first or second day, but I will never forget this. We have these skis, like water skis, and we're trying to learn how to water ski. And my dad's trying to learn how to pull us on the water ski, right? And
right. There's
an art to it, right? And so I'm out back and I am skiing and I'm just not getting up. And, you know, my dad says, okay, you know, come on in and we'll give one of the other boys a try, right? The engine is on. And I'm swimming up to the back of the boat where the ladder is. And I say, the engine's on. Right. My dad says, don't worry about it. It's an idol. Just get up and come on. As I start to pull myself up, I can feel something grabbing my swimsuit. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, like I kind of jump sideways. I'm like, oh, my God. I think something like grabbed my swimsuit or something like an alligator.
A lake monster.
And my dad's like, stop it. You know, get in the boat. Come on. Stop fooling around back there. Stop your shit. It's Sunday. Spare me the bullshit, friend. So I get up into the boat and my shorts are shredded.
Oh my God.
The till had gotten me, right? Oh, no. It had gotten me, but it didn't get me. It got my very, at that time, baggy swimsuit because it was 1992 and that was the fashion, right? Luckily, that was
Thank God. Yeah.
I had my Hammer Time pants on. Can't touch this. And so I get back up into the boat and my dad's like, oh my God. You know, and Kevin's like, why didn't it just take him all the way in? And then,
Remember that Brian's mom loves you on episode 24.
Yeah. Hi, Brian. It's your mom. I'm calling on Astrid's phone because I know you don't like me to bother you.
That's the first thing she does. She calls on Astrid's phone because she knows I don't like to be bothered by multiple phone calls. So she leaves the message for me on Astrid's phone.
Hi. Okay, so listen. I know I came over to your house the other day and my phone is working just fine. And then all of a sudden it's not working anymore. So I don't really know what to do. Like, do I turn it on or do I turn it off? Or I'm not really sure who I call about it. And I've read a bunch of stuff from on that book that you gave me that came along with the phone. And it just has a bunch of numbers and letters in it. So call me back, okay? Because I don't know what to do. Okay, bye.
She's calling me from the phone.
She's
calling me from the phone.
So it does work in some capacity.
Yeah, so I immediately, you know, beep, bop, boop, 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 call up my mom, right? And it goes to her voicemail, but it's clear that the phone at least should be working. It's ringing and it's going up, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, Mom, it's Brian. Listen, I just called your phone and it's working just fine. Like, if you're getting this message, everything's okay.
This is the problem with my mother and her phone communication skills. That's it. That's all that needs to be said. If you called me and said, hey, Brian, my phone's not working, dial my phone and see if it's working, I would dial your phone. And if it rang, we knew it would be okay. And there would be no need for additional communication because it's 2020 right. And we don't need to talk to each other every 5 seconds about everything that we're doing, right? So then my mom calls. Astrid's phone first, my phone second, back to Astrid's phone, back to my phone, right? Finally, I pick it up. It's like dinner time.
Hi, honey, it's your mom.
I know, Mom. I see it on the thing.
Oh, it tells you who's calling?
Yes, Mom. It tells me who's calling. It's called a caller ID. They've had that since the 80s.
Oh, yeah. It does the same thing for me.
Okay, what do you got, Mom? I'm just sitting here eating.
Listen, I just wanted to call and let you know that the phone is working just fine.
I know, because you're calling from it.
Oh, that's right. How did you know that?
Because you called from it the first time.
Wait, did I call from the phone the first time? I didn't even realize it was working. I thought it was broken.
And I'm like, Mom, you called from the phone to tell me it was broken, but it wasn't broken because you called me from the phone.
Oh, I was confused, I think. I don't think I slept very well last night. You know what happened? Do you know what happened, Brian?
What happened, Mom?
Irving called me. He told me he loves you. he loves you so much. You and the grandkids. He says that Matthias is going to be Einstein.
Okay, Mom, I'm eating dinner. Can you please let me go? Like, I don't want to hear about Irving and the stuff. And can we talk about this later?
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. I didn't realize it. You know, I understand. I understand you don't want to talk to me.
Oh, Mom, don't give me the guilt trip now. I'm trying to eat.
Yeah, that happens.
I know, honey. I just call me back whenever. You don't have to call me back today or tomorrow or Thursday or Saturday. Just call me back whenever you want to. If that's next Tuesday, you can call me next.
Okay, Mom, I'll call you back.
Okay, bye.
Mom.
Hey, kids. Just say nope to dope. This clip is from episode 25.
One time, I ended up mowing my lawn in my underwear high on LSD when I was like 16 years old and my dad was out of town. And it was like 6:45, 7 in the morning, you know, when no one wants to hear your fucking lawnmower and it's a quiet neighborhood. It's not like we lived on a busy street. We lived in a cul-de-sac a mile away from any street, right? And so I was out there, you know, done it. And I had put my speaker outside the window of the house and I was blaring the music and I was mowing the lawn and I was like apologizing to the grass for killing it. I was like, I'm sorry, dude.
And that's something I was going to ask you. Like, how did you think about that when you were on the LSD? Because I would think you wouldn't want to kill the grass, like hurt the grass.
I didn't want to hurt the grass. I was like, it wasn't about hurting the grass. It's that I knew that the grass had to be broken in order to regrow. That's how it all works. You have to be split in half and then you regrow better than ever. You know, it's like the whole thing. Meanwhile, I've got, you know, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony blaring out the window. If it wasn't for my neighbor who kindly walked over and was like, hey, Brian. And I was like, hey, Mr. Hey. You know, Snoopy Snoops, what's going on? And he's like, I think you should probably go inside. And I was like, what? And he's like, I think you should, let's go inside now. Let's go inside.
Bless
and I
was like, in your underwear.
He was like, bless your heart. He's like, let me finish up the grass for you. Thanks, Mr. Snoopy Snoop. No problem. You're in your underoos. With your small little man boner running around the front yard, talking to the grass. Not a good look.
Right. Let me help you out here, Brian.
The ungrateful spreadhead from episode 27.
For those of you that don't know, widespread panic would be akin, at least the energy in the room would be akin to like a Grateful Dead show. Even though the music doesn't sound similar, it's kind of more bluesy, rocky. But it's very much the same type of atmosphere. It's just like freewheeling. Yeah. And everybody loves each other. And, you know.
Well, and the thing is that they play a different set of songs every time they play. So it's not.
They never play the same thing.
It's not your normal Maroon 5.
That's right.
It's the same show no matter what city you're in. This is something, this is why you travel around to go see them.
They never play the same set twice.
Special. You get something special. A song they haven't played in years.
That's right.
It's called Bust Out. Bust Out song.
It's called a Bust Out song?
Yeah.
Is that like when they bust out something, for like one of the old tracks?
That's right. One of the old ones.
Lay it down for 26 to 32 minutes. While I take a piss, find a new girlfriend, get someone pregnant, and do a couple hits of ecstasy. I come back, and I'm just in the middle concerto of the song.
It's fun.
Sonny's going to do a 27-minute drum solo in the middle of Ain't Life Grand. It's that kind of band.
Yes.
Henry Fonda from Podcast Universe loves Jeff Hoadley. A song from episode 28.
Did Hello, everyone. It's Henry Fonda from Podcast Universe, your favorite podcast application, where we're always here to stroke your ego. I wanted to take a few minutes before this commercial break to say a very happy 72nd birthday to my very dear friend, Mrs. Jeff Hoadley. Of course, husband of Chrissy Hoadley. Now, if you would, everyone, sing along. Okay, here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I hope you like 90 Day Fiancé. It's my gift to you. Fuck you. Very good, everyone. Now with a little bit more heart. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. If you ever think about a threesome, just give me a call. I do. Very good. Very nice, everyone.
Let's take a meditation break from episode 29.
Feel from the deepest part of your loins the ancestors that came before you and their ancestor. Feel it right in your penis chakra. Feel it deep in your penis chakra. Then imagine you have a vachakra, the chakra of a vagina. Now our ancestors are really talking to each other. Yeah, this is the place. Look deep inside your manhole. Find inner peace, inner sanctum in your inner rectum.
No one wants to see Jeffrey Toobin's penis from episode 29.
You'd pull a Toobin right there.
Ooh,
classic Toobin. Classic I'm telling you, Toobin. That tube's always pulling out his cock.
I was there. Is he? Is he known?
That's
that?
Just like that. In my experience so, with the tubes, which but... I refer to him. In my experience, the tubes is such a character. He's always whacking out his cock and just doing all over the place. Listen, nary a Zoom call goes by with the tubes that you don't see his dick. I mean, it's just like, go tubes, get to town.
I had no idea that was a thing, but when I heard about it, I was very shocked. He's prominent. I mean, that's going to follow him for a while.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the Warner Brothers fourth quarter corporate earnings call. On the phone call today is CEO Jeff Zucker, head of our news and opinion division, Jeffrey. Oh, there's Jeff's cock. Look at that. That's classic, Tubes. What you doing over there, Tubes?
Getting one off real quick, boss.
Great. We're just going to continue with the call. I'd like to direct everybody to page 32 in the prospectus. We're talking about capital expense. Oh, look at that. It just jizzed all over.
Classic Tubes.
Henry Fonda is a strange bird in episode 30.
When I was 15, my dad presented me.
Oh, really?
Henry.
This is a custom in our culture. It's actually not 15, it's 12. And we're presented to the neighborhood.
And what are you presented for?
Hard labor and sexual favors, mainly.
Okay, I don't want to go there. Thanks, Henry.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Henry Fonda is also a sexist from episode 31.
Okay, I'm not a woman, but I won the lottery as far as genetics are concerned. So I can't imagine what it's like to feel like you don't have the same rights or privileges as someone else. Like I won the skin color lottery. I won the middle class lottery. I won the man lottery. I won it all, essentially. And that's through no doing of my own, through no fault of your own. You know, you happen to be a woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think. Checked.
Can I check?
No, Henry Fonda.
You tried that the last time and we went out.
No, I didn't. I just wanted to make sure you were folding the clothes correctly in my closet. Can I help it? I just wanted to check and see. I thought maybe you were wearing my jeans and I was wearing yours. I didn't know. Just wanted to make sure everything was okay. I can't believe women can vote in your country.
Yes, of course they can, Henry. Don't they can't vote in your country?
No, of course not. This is men and women have two totally different mineral makeups. Men are made of steel and vinegar, and women are made of dirt and brittle bones.
And sugar and spice and everything nice.
Well, it depends on who you are. I mean, ask Ariana Grande what she's made of. If you ask me, she's made of vengeance and of attorneys. That's what I know. She's, listen, I may be a little not, maybe this is not the best conversation for me right now because I'm still a little upset about my pending divorce.
The wound is still raw.
The wound is still very raw. But what I do know is that women should probably have their own voting section. I think this will make you feel better, right? Correct? If you have your own voting section and we have our own voting section and then our votes count first and then we decide and then you think about things later on.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I'll vote on that.
This is how it works in my country, and it's been working fine for ages.
Which country is that?
I don't know what to say right now. I'm under a few investigative problems here, and I don't know what to say. But just so you know, we vote first, they vote second, we decide, they talk about it at tea parties. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then, you know, they have their own tea parties, and we only have to have 4 or 5 security guards per tea party, just letting you know. And we fought hard for that one, let me tell you. I wanted 10. I don't trust what the women are up to in this country. No, sorry, but has anyone seen my ex-wife, by the way, on Twitter or anything like that? I know you're friends with Seth Rogen now. have you heard? Has he said anything?
No, he hasn't.
Okay, well, listen, I've got to go and fix this broken website.
I think it's best that you do go.
Okay, bye. With Podcast Universe, always here to help. Bye. Okay, bye. Hey, listen, you got some extra time to come over later on tonight?
Not tonight.
Okay, I do have a load of dirty laundry in case you. Okay, just checking. Okay, talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Let's admit it. Santa is a weird man. Episode 32.
I'm really concerned about this because now I'm going to put my son and my daughter in the lap of a strange man who's been touching, you know, thousands of other children over the course of a couple
how
weeks.
How are they making that safe?
They're not. Well, here's how they make
they're not.
They're not.
We shoved our kids in his lap.
Come on down, COVID Christmas. Our Santa Claus wears plastic and nothing else. No cleaning, no sanitizing. Your kids will get COVID. Don't worry. Herd immunity right around the corner.
COVID Christmas.
It's the COVID Christmas castle. Come on down. We have 12 Santas. 11 have died. Do your kids hate Santa? We do too. We permit him to not wear a mask. No hand sanitizer. And we require that he be wrapped in plastic. Nothing else.
Yeah, was he wearing a mask?
No. No, I'm Santa gonna wear a mask, please. It's like
it
a death
been
trap.
Like it could have been disguised underneath like a beard.
Could have
a beard.
Yeah, that would have been a little weird. Santa's got no mouth because the kids aren't scared enough. Santa's got no pupils. Santa boxes, young man. Cauliflower eyes, no pupils. His mouth is missing.
Step right up.
Yeah, step right up. He's got a broom for an arm. A colostomy bag from Vietnam. Remember that hair Michael Jackson had? Same hair. His hair melted in the Pepsi commercial. Come on down to Christmas COVID Castle. We'll take care of you.
Oh my gosh. This sounds like a great outing.
Ooh.
Wee.
We call him Sickle Cell Santa. We'll be right back after these messages. Oh my gosh.
Woo. I'm picturing it and it's making me just
I know,
giggle.
Me too. Every time I would say something, I would picture like another missing piece of his body.
So they weren't sanitizing or masked up?
Got cornbread pans for knees. Surgically attached lizard feet and a tail. Come on down. Your kids will love them. Looks like the Walmart Santa.
Do your balls hang low? Do they dangle to and fro? Episode 33.
Those people still aren't around. Except for me.
You're still kicking it.
I'm still kicking it. Nuts hanging down right on top of my ankles. Every time I walk, I hear a sound, a thud thud of another ball. Bong, bong. What is that? My wife's name is Nancy. And I said, Nancy, what is that sound? And she says, those must be your balls hitting the top of your loafers. Sometimes my nuts give my shoes a shine. Occasionally I step on them. I can't feel them. They're so far away. It takes about an hour for me to feel the pain. I'll step on them at 2 o'clock. By 3 o'clock, I'm sore. I don't know what's going on. I pee so much, I fell asleep.
My shoes a shine.
That's right. I take one of those contraptions. I just put a little buff and wax on the bottom of my balls. I just let them go to town. I kick my feet and I...
Now that is what I call multitasking.
That's right. I got an important meeting coming up. I just go ahead and wiggle my feet around. Ding, 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 ding. I pee so much, I fell asleep on the toilet. Me and Nancy never slept in the same bed. That was rude back then, of course. You know, I sleep in one room, she sleeps in the other. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I just fall asleep on the toilet. I don't get a morning boner anymore. I don't get a morning boner anymore, sunshine. I call it the perpetual downward dog. I let my balls hang out in the water, and I got to be careful not to flush them. I got to stand up.
I will have a bottle of your finest wine, please. Episode 34.
It's a little known fact that your testicles are the seventh sense that you use to eat. There's your ears, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, and your testes. It's the taste bud testes, right? Mm. And so what I often do is when the meal comes, let's say, what do you like? You like to cook Jeff a good pork loin, right?
I'm thinking of it more as like a good bottle of wine. I like to open that up.
Did you know you can drink through your anus?
Oh, God.
You can get drunk through your anus? That's a true story.
I think I have heard stories about that. Jeez.
Well, I've heard lots of cocaine stories.
Yeah, that was about to say. Yeah.
So let's say you bring a pork loin to the table, mm-hmm. right? If I want to enjoy the whole meal 100% in its complexity, I have to dip my balls on the pork loin. What do you have, a nice white wine sauce with that?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of making a big scene with the pork loin at the table, what I would do is I would ask for a little sample of the sauce on the side, and then just very politely.
In a ramekin?
I'm thinking about what's going to happen in the future as we learn and develop the testy taste buds.
Okay.
So I feel like what's going to happen is you're going to order a pork loin with white wine sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say, can I please have a testy taste? Can I have a little?
I like it.
Can I have a little testy taste? A little tea taste. Can I have a little tea taste? Do you mind?
A little tea.
Yeah. And the waiter is going to go, of course, sir. I'll bring that right away. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, thank you very much. And he'll be like, Mr. Green, your tea taste. Thank you. And what I'll do is there'll be a little pocket right under your balls and you'll zip it. The balls will fall out,
uh-huh.
and you'll take your little cut. Your
splash.
Little, yeah, it'll be like.
Boom. Plunk.
I feel like it'll be a little cup with two circles, and then you'll just kind of bloop, bloop.
That's good.
And then you'll tell the rest of the table.
That
you'll say,
sucks.
You'll say, this is great pork. You guys should order it. It's fantastic. I can
pass the taste. Yeah. Testies taste test.
The testies taste test. The taste test of the testies.
I feel like you
could do with the same thing with the wine, right? When they
I think this is a niche product. You know, they always say to invent something, you make a lot of money from starting
the two little cups that you just put under
any
the table.
Of it.
Yeah.
Like the testy diaper flap.
Yeah. I feel like
jeans, the whole thing, the ball ramekin.
I feel like when you get a bottle of wine and they're going to decanter it, right. You just ask if it's okay if you just pour it over your balls. Do you mind pouring that over my ball?
Yep, good. Let that breathe a little bit. Let it breathe a little bit.
Do you mind? Brian, why don't you order the bottle of wine? Thank you. Do I? Thank you. I think I'll have the 1922 Chateau Marmont. Fine choice, sir.
Would you please? Would you please? Would you please bring the decanter with room for my balls? Bring the nut canter, please.
Thank you very much.
Bring the decanter, and by decanter, I mean decanter. The D decanter.
The tea canter.
Oh my God, I'm crying. Okay, sir, you're a 1929 Chateau Marmont. Fine.
Excellent. That's an excellent year.
Well, sir, may I say your balls are smooth and pleasant.
Your balls have exquisite taste.
Your balls know a great wine when they taste one. I don't even know that anybody can hear what we're saying because we laughed so hard. I'm crying. I'm literally crying because they can see my balls in the decanter. Good. You have exceptional taste, sir. Your balls. Don't mind if I do.
Your testes have exceptional taste.
Exceptional. I feel like
they can taste things sometimes that your tongue can't.
That's right. I get a hint of floral in there. I get a hint of floral right in my scrot. I feel like I'm getting a hint of scrotal. Of scrot floral notes. Oh, sir. I feel like I'm getting a hint of taint. I feel like I'm getting a tint of taint in there. Just a little bit of tint of taint. Sir. Sir. Such a fine taster.
Grass-fed grass from episode 35.
We're talking about like bringing on an emotional support animal. Handing someone a piece of paper that says, I need this dog to comfort me through my flight. Mm-hmm. But what people have been doing is they've been taking on all kind of animals to comfort them through the flight.
Yes.
And the list that I read, now it's against the law, right? They've changed the laws or the regulations. I don't even know what I don't even know if there's a law, but just regulations.
Yeah. For each, it must be law.
It shall be law. You can no longer take your peacock on the plane. What's a plane? Is that one of those newfangled things that keeps ice cold? I've got an ice box. It's literally a box for ice. Stop by the BP. Come on down.
I'm
pumping your oil for you.
It says full service.
Full service. I'm pumping the oil and I'm refining it right here. Drop your car off on Tuesday. By December, you'll have a gallon.
Hipsters would do that.
That's what, of course they would. Grass-fed grass, man. I get my oil pumped straight from the ground. The BP on Crossville and Crabapple. I don't know if you know, but it's like it's totally... There's no one hurt in the process. Literally nothing is hurt except the oil in the process.
Like farm to table food. It's
that's right.
Oil
it's well,
oil to car.
It's well to tank. Straight well to tank. It's rock to tank. We go rock to tank. That's why I don't want anybody hurt in the process. I don't want any of those dangerous machines running oil all over the place. Dude, I got a solution. We're going to drill a hole as far as we can. When you know when it comes bubbling up like the Beverly Hillbillies, we'll take it. We'll do whatever we do with it. Put it in the car.
It's organic.
That's right. I don't want my ring.
Organic
I don't,
gas.
I don't want my ring. grass-fed gas. Grass-fed grass. I don't want my Range Rover hurting any more people than need be. Right. My dad will be pissed. Gave me that for my 38th birthday. You'll excuse me, I have a first-class flight to Italy. I've got a tick. Teaching some students over there how to...
With your emotional support, yeah.
How to make sunflower cheese. It's my life's passion. I'm staying at the Ritz. If anybody needs me, I'll be staying at the Ritz.
And finally, Dr. Henry Fonda is back with some marriage advice on episode 36.
It's electromagnetic, Hudley. Don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, look, it's our old friend Henry Fonda
Hello, Henry.
Hi, everybody. How's everyone doing? Happy Christmas, Merry Holidays, all that shit. How are you?
That shit.
Well, listen, I mean, I don't know. People practice, you know, there's the dreidel, 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 and then there's Hanukkah, there's Festimus, there's all that Christmas. In our country, we call it the Day of No Presents. You know, there's a couple different ways. Well, listen, I mean, we have other things more important shit to worry about than Santa Claus or whatever you call it.
Aww.
So I heard Brian talking about that maybe he's having problems in his marriage, and I thought I'd come on. I've recently got my PhD from the local college down here, the University of I Know Everything, and it's partly online, partly in person. I just took the online portion of it. But I am now a certified psychologist and marriage counselor.
Nice. Congratulations,
Thank
Henry.
You. Thank you. And I wanted to be, because, you know, you and I have had a hard time connecting on some things. I know that Jeff is being very protective of you. He's very concerned that I may step on his toes or his balls or whatever is going on.
So
low-hanging balls. Get it together, Jeff. You need one of those ball straps, you know, the one, the kind that you hook two clips and then you put it up. You hook two clips to your balls and then one on your headboard, and then you just stretch your scrot sack.
I saw that in Sharper Image.
Sharper Image is one of my favorite catalogs. Really, let me tell you. We also have Podcast Universe Image, which is another place. It's full of dildos. It's full of fruit-shaped fruit that you can use for whatever you want.
For a neck massager.
Yeah, we sell apple massagers. For your apple bags, if you know what I mean. But anyway, with my newfound degree in marriage psychology, I thought I'd want to come on and share some of customs and cultures and things that in my country, the things I've been learning about marriage.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, so first, there's a little update. How are you and Jeff doing?
Jeff and I are fantastic.
Jeff looks great, I'm telling you. He looks fantastic in those pictures. And every time I see him come out of the apartment, he looks wonderful.
I'm glad you've been watching us.
Well, you know, I live in the same neighborhood. I'm around the corner just checking to make sure that you're okay. I'm a little suspicious of Jeff. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Why?
Well, he's so protective of you. I mean, usually in my country, when we get married, it's the last thing we're worried about is our wife. You know what I mean? This is important, you know, if we're going to keep the species going. We've got to get out there and make babies. But not with our wives. That's terrible. Marriage is not for sex. It's for toiletries and nice towels that you get when you get married.
The gifts.
For the gifts, basically. So let's go through a few things that I think you and Jeff and possibly Brian and Astrid may be doing wrong, or maybe we can just maybe there's a little help that I can offer you. Is that okay? You don't mind if I give these are Henry Fonda's top 10 marriage tips and tricks.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I took some notes. If everyone doesn't mind, I'll keep my notes here because, you know, I've got a lot of things on my mind lately with the divorce going on with Ariana Grande. She now refuses to show up to court. She claims she does not even know who I am.
Oh.
This is crazy business. I took picture. I buried it in ground. I did ceremonial dance. I set two llama feet on fire, and I sent her notification by USPSPSPSTS. Which is our local postal system, not so good, just going to be real honest. Listen, I think one of the things that that Astrid and Brian did correctly that you and Jeff may be missing is you've got to get right to the baby making. I mean, listen, right to the baby making. There's no other point in being married except to procreate, to pop out little children that can then pay your bills down the line.
Right, and take care of you when you're old.
And if this is a matter of fertility, I can give you a little help in this department too. There's a fertility technique that I call mash potatoes, and this is it. This has been going on for a long time in my culture. What I want you to do is, next time Jeff comes in the door, the first thing is you tell Jeff, stay right there. I'm going to come over to him. You're going to kneel down before him, head right around the crotchial area, right there.
Crotchial.
Yes, that's what it's called, I think. That's the technical name. You guys have had your nuptials, so you know, do you understand what a man and a woman do when a woman gets on her knees?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to constantly punch Jeff right in his penis.
Oh, that's the mashed potatoes?
Well, it gets the sperm going. It wakes them up.
It lets
them know it's time to go to work, right? It's like sometimes you can't wake up for work and you need to hit snooze twice. Sometimes you need two punches in the penis.
This is long-standing family tradition. Oh, and I'm telling you what, my mom... My aunt had 12 children this way. Now, they're different colors, but, you know, that's a story for a different day. That's a story for a different podcast. I'm just letting you know. So, you know, get to the mashed potatoes.
You got the mashed potatoes.
Right in the potatoes. Okay. Yeah, just bang, bang, keep on going. And if he screams in pain, this is okay. That's just him waking up to the reality of marriage.
So that's it, the very last episode. You made it through. Tune in next week for the first episode of season 2. We'll give you more details on Patreon, and we'll let you know what the schedule is with the live shows. At the commercial break on Instagram, info@tcbpodcast.com is the email address. tcbpodcast.com is the website. You can find all of our YouTube episodes and every single audio episode there. It's been a great season 1. We'll see you next week.